2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
From a former NFL quarterback.
Louisville!
And the other guy.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Alrighty, sports fans. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell here, Matt Biamonte over there. Of course, Matt is filling in for Alex, who is out. Matt is the co-host of Cougar Sports Saturday here on Saturdays at KSL News Radio from noon to 3. They do an amazing job, really. I mean, they cover it very well. If you're a BYU fan, it is like required listening. They have great guests, great content, and they have owned it. So really,
thanks,
good.
Scott.
It's true. It's very true. Hey, Jeff Donovan with Get Your ERC Refunds will be live Friday during our show Unrivaled. Tune in from 3 to 6 p.m. Of course, if you're listening, you know when to tune in to us. But Jeff does an amazing job, so he's going to be on tomorrow. You've heard the NFL roundup, right?
Of course.
So we like to talk about NFL stories because football is religion in this country, and, it is on our show. NFL is a year-round deal, so we like to talk about it. So apparently, and you've been talking about this earlier, it looks like the Vikings are going to cut or maybe trade Dalvin Cook.
Cut. They tried to trade him today. Today was the last day they were going to try to trade him. That did not materialize, so he is hitting the open market. So, I would hate to be a running back in today's day and age. Dalvin Cook has been good. He has not been playing that long. He's only played 6 years, and it's like, all right, you're out of here. We're going to the Boise State draftee, Alexander Mattison. Ty Chandler's a backup. I only remember this guy because I saw him play at Tennessee when BOU played at Tennessee in 2019. There's just no interest in paying running backs right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is, and it's such a departure from where the NFL was. But the rule changes and the strategy of the game has really changed, and so the focus is on other positions. And wide receiver, tight end is a bigger get for a team than a running back. But if you have a multifaceted running back, you're almost better. You have what's funny about it is there was the third down back, and the third down back has now become the first down back. Like you had a specialized guy, right? Who was good pass blocker, great route runner, and someone who could run in a pinch, right? And that's really kind of what the running back position for most teams. I mean, there's still some that hold out for that, Bijan Robinson, who of course I think he's that kind of talent. I think he's the kind of running back, a running back like Marshall Faulk, who I think would play well in today's NFL, would play very well actually.
Captain Obvious. My goodness, that's a Hall of Fame running back.
I know, but there are some guys.
I think Emmitt Smith could play well today, Scott.
I'm not sure. I'm not Thurman Thomas, but like Barry Sanders, I don't know. I mean,
come on. I know you played with them, but Barry could play today. Barry would be great.
No, ask Scott who his favorite running back is.
No, I'm just telling you, Barry was a guy he was like, I'm not a receiver. I don't catch the ball. And you have to be that kind of guy today. I'm just maybe he could like, you know,
he told you that in the huddle. We're gonna run a swing pass.
I was like, the hardest part for you, Barry, is getting past the line. If you get past the line of scrimmage, it's lights out. Like nobody can touch you once you get past the line of scrimmage. Seriously, yep. you're unstoppable.
He didn't like to run wheel routes out of the backfield.
He goes, that's not my thing. I'm a running back. I don't do that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a thing. I mean, it's evolved. Here's the thing, though, that I think is even dumber is the Vikings. Well, we're going to cut this guy unless we can trade him. And everyone's like,
okay.
We don't have to give anything up to get this guy. I'm fine. And, and he's like, he becomes a free agent or all the stuff. It's like, and then he can go out, you know, why people do that is beyond me, and it happens more often than not where you're just like, okay, Holly Rowe is on the field for a softball. Doesn't that seem weird? Do they have commentators on the?
It's not weird. World Series, they do.
Okay.
What's
I don't know. It just looked kind of odd to me.
Weird's not the right word, but what's impressive about Holly Rowe is how does she get any sleep?
Yeah, she's all over the place.
She is all over the place.
Yeah.
It's been awesome to have her with the Jazz, too. She's been a great addition.
So Dalvin Cook is going to get cut, and I knew that. That's kind of why I said it, traded, cut. It just seems kind of dumb to me. Apparently, the Jets and the Browns are going to be in this year's Hall of Fame game. Does anyone care?
No. The Hall of Fame game has lost all luster. And the preseason—
Did it ever have luster? I mean—
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah. It was kind of like the beginning of football, and you'd see a couple series. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to take a snap in that game. Jeremy thinks he is. He's not.
Probably take one series.
Maybe one series. At best.
Ceremonial. That's why the Jets are there.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I want? I want one
point.
Preseason game. That is all. And some more like
regular
inter-
season
squad
games?
Televised practices. You don't like that?
No.
Why?
I'm like one preseason game and get this thing started. Most teams know. Most people know their teams before. There's very few guys that they even.
We're
know.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but
one preseason game.
Right. I don't want a bunch of scrimmages. I don't.
That's happening already. That's not going away.
No. Yeah, it should go away.
So how do you get ready for the season? You don't practice?
You have a couple of weeks of practice. You play a preseason game, and then off you go. These guys are like training camp was designed for when the players had another job.
Fair.
No, that's how seriously because you didn't have time to work out because you had to go work, and training camp was long. I mean, it's fun to hear some of these older guys that talk about training camp. Ken Anderson, who was one of my coaches with the Bengals, who really, really great quarterback for the Bengals for years. And he would tell stories of when they went to training camp, they'd have 120 guys. And he goes, we would practice one play for the entire practice.
Wow.
We would run this play against every potential look you could get. And, you know, and we'd have 3-4 practices a day. And it was long, and training camp was designed to get you into shape. And now these guys are in shape, like, all the time. I mean, so, yeah, preseason games, training camp, all of it is just massively overrated. That's what I think.
The only thing about preseason camp that I think not – that's not a thing, preseason camp. Preseason games is for rookies and undrafted players to make a name for themselves. You take those out like we saw in 2020, it's much harder to make the team. You disagree?
They don't. Most of those guys, they don't.
Most of those guys? Are you listening to this?
I am. No, I've lived it.
There's many an undrafted player that makes a significant impact.
No, I wouldn't say many. There's a number. What I think is going to be fascinating with the change in the rules, with like basically eliminating the kickoff, eventually they'll eliminate it. You may eliminate some of these free agent guys who are just making the team as special teamers. You may go, well, if we don't have to field those positions, why don't we have instead of five or seven wide receivers, why don't we have 10? Why don't we keep better older players, you know, instead of these special teams guys? I think it can significantly change the look and the makeup of rosters. But I'm just telling you, you have 80 guys that go to camp, and there might be five of those 80 guys that are a question. That you go, okay, we got to make a decision about this guy, and they may get it wrong, but most of the time, and you go, fine, we get player, you know, whatever, 47, 46 wrong. Does that like kill our football team? No. I mean, because the guys, you know, you have it really, it just doesn't kill your team, even if you get it wrong. And the likelihood of a you know, Brock Purdy just doesn't happen every season, every game.
It happens every season. There's a Brock Purdy every year.
Not to that extent.
Maybe not at the quarterback position to that extent.
There's a lot of teams that will, like, let's just take Jaren Hall. I'll bet someone in the Vikings organization just really liked Jaren Hall. And so, you know, I know he's a drafted player, but late drafted player, but he's a guy, and they go into the season knowing, well, we're going to keep him.
Yep.
Like it's not a mystery to them. It's totally. Not like, you know, okay, he's got to make the team or he's got to whatever. No, that dude's going to make the team. I'm just telling you, most decisions are made because they just don't, They just don't waste their time with it. They don't have time. They don't really care. Most of the coaches are like, let's just get the preseason over with.
Agreed, for sure. Four games is way too many.
It was very different early on when I played, where, you know, the starting guys, and when I was at the Miami Dolphins, they played a lot in the preseason, a lot. And then and because what they did is they built it up. And they got more time as the preseason went on. So when the season started, they were used to playing almost a full game.
I should say three is too many, because it's down to three. But
I could compromise with you and do two.
I don't want more preseason games. I'm saying, because it already happens. We see it every summer that the Jets and the Giants are going to get together and have a practice. So you're not playing against your own team.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
Just put that on
TV.
Do
that once.
Don't so one it. Preseason game and no, one of those practices?
Fine. That's fine. I'm telling you, the worst part of my whole experience in the NFL was training camp, was going through all of those preseason games, and all of that time was a big freaking waste of time.
Yeah.
Pay me more money and play.
Taysom Hill would disagree.
I know.
He made the league off of preseason football.
Believe me, I get it. I do. I know. When I was a younger player, and like the preseason was my Super Bowl. Like, it was just like, yeah, it's like you had to shine in those moments, but you get older and you're just like, yeah. And then you find out they kind of know anyways. So it's like, it's not some big secret. Not at all. Okay. I just saw Bryce Young on TV. Did you see that?
Yeah. He's QB1.
He looks huge.
He's not huge. He's small.
No, I know, but he in that like, and not only did he look huge, he looked like it was almost too big. Like it almost looked like it was hard for him to move, because his legs look thick.
I don't know what to make of Bryce Young. He was, I think, if not definitively the best college quarterback these past 2 years, top three. Like, he was great at Alabama. He made phenomenal plays. But is that size going to translate to the NFL? It just so seldomly does.
How awesome would it be if you go to Alabama, like you're playing, like you talk about practice and all, you're practicing against an NFL roster every day at Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening at BYU. It's not happening at Utah. So the guy you're going up against in practice, one-on-one every day, that's an NFL caliber player. And that's it's a massive advantage to you in college, just because it just elevates your game, but it also just is a massive advantage to you going into the pros. I mean, if anyone's ready for the pros, I think it would be Bryce Young.
It's just the size. Just
because of who he gets to practice against every day.
Yeah.
Let alone the competition he plays against every week.
I think there's a reason you're seeing guys from Alabama and Georgia in particular, the past couple of years, getting drafted. You know, Philadelphia's been stockpiling Georgia players, and they just seem plug and play. So I think you're onto a good point. Yeah. But Bryce Young, it'll be interesting to see how it translates.
They are just super happy about him right now. I mean, they're elated.
Is that because he's playing well, or is that because he's the number one pick? Because similar things were said about Zach Wilson a couple years ago when he was.
And then you hear him now, and it's like he's struggling in OTAs, and it's just funny. Yeah, I mean, there's some of that there. If I'm Bryce Young, I'm elated that I'm going to the Carolina Panthers, who are kind of out of the spotlight, and I'm going to a coach that understands how to develop a quarterback. You know, so if he's
in a much better landing spot than Zach ever was,
and if he's in a good spot, it'll show. You know, he's getting the right. You know, and if he's not, then you know he sucks. All right, let's see. I guess let's take a break, and then we got the 2 minute drill. Hey, everybody. All right, traffic's next. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.